This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. My name is Adam Ritz, and Jay Baker is joining me on the phone for this discussion of public affairs radio, sort of a 30-minute public service announcement. How are you, Jay?
I am doing great, Adam. And yes, our crack staff is always out researching topics that are incredibly beneficial to you. So the next 30 minutes is going to make you one leg up on everybody that you know in your life, because you're going to be armed with knowledge.
With knowledge. And it is the Halloween season, a couple weeks out from October 31st, which I believe is a Friday this year. So if you're preparing your little ones to go trick-or-treating, now's the time to start really doing your homework on safety, preparedness, trick-or-treating hours in your community, do's and don'ts, and things of that nature. So to kick us off, Jay, in the Halloween discussion, I wanted to talk about Halloween 5K fun runs across America. I love a fun run. I haven't done a 5K fun run in a while. I may try to find a Halloween fun run to do. Now, here's the challenge. You usually do those costumed. It's fun to run a 5K with a few thousand people, and you're all wearing costumes. You, in your own hometown, wherever you're listening, can find a 5K fun run this Halloween season. Just do a simple Google search, Halloween 5K near me, and something will pop up. And 99% of these fun runs do benefit a charity. They're usually connected to some sort of foundation or charity, so your registration fee, you will be happy to know, will go to some charity in your local community. Now, here's the key, Jay. When you run a Halloween 5K and you wear your mm-hmm. costume, you don't want to have a mask on. Like, if you want to be Michael Myers, you put on the navy blue jumpsuit, the coveralls. And then you get the Michael Myers mask. Once you're about a half mile in, you can't breathe.
No.
So plan ahead with your fun run and your whatever your headgear is, so that you will be able to breathe. Because that is an important thing we want you to take away from this public affairs radio show, is that you need to be able to breathe.
Yes, breathing is important during a 5K. You know, my complete 100% wool Romanian count outfit is the perfect running attire.
That is perfect if you're running way far north. North of the Canadian border to keep you warm. The other key is if you have props. If you're Michael Myers and you bring even if it's a plastic knife, the big plastic uh-huh. knife, that's probably a bad idea to be running a 5K. Don't run with scissors, and do not run with a murderous serial killing knife.
And we also recommend no chainsaws. Those can be dangerous at the 3 mile mark.
And they can really slow down your time if you're going for a personal best.
Indeed. But yes, I think that is a great time to find a fun run. And we've always said the 5K is kind of cool because it's 3.1 miles. So worst case scenario, you're kind of fast walking the last mile if you haven't trained as hard as you wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
And no one will think anything of it because, like you said, you've already spent money on your entry fee and your T-shirt, and that money's going off usually to a good cause.
And, Jay, usually at the end of a Halloween-themed 5K, there's some pretty good treats at the end of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Candy and hot cider at many of them.
Many. I mean, you do an average 5K, you've got some power bars and bananas at the end of the run. Yeah, this one, you might have some fun-sized candy bars.
It's okay to run the 5K and then eat about 16 chocolate chip cookies at the end, isn't it? It kind of evens out the calorie count.
That's how
absolutely.
I do it. Yes.
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about how budgets are a little bit tight for Americans, but guess what? Halloween spending is always kind of on the go, go, go. It's been hitting a number of records over the last couple of years and probably will again this year. According to the National Retail Federation, they said that U.S. consumers will spend about $13.1 billion on Halloween.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you talk about an arms race. We've got better candy. I'm going to prove it to you.
Well, you've got to find the house that has the full-size candy bars. I recently moved, Jay, and I met a guy, no, I'm not kidding, about 3 weeks ago walking through the neighborhood, friendly guy, and he's walking his dog, and he's like, hey, are you new here? And I'm like, yeah, we moved in about last August. And he goes, we're the neighborhood that serves the big-size candy bars for trick-or-treaters. And I'm like, okay, now I'm being judged. I don't want to be the house passing out the fun size. I got to get the big size. Yeah. So I'm part of that $13.1 billion in spending.
Sure. Fun size is no go in our neighborhood. That's funny. Yeah, and it was great that you said about candy. The candy alone is right at the $3.9 billion mark. So you can imagine that the candy companies love the Halloween season.
That is an amazing amount of money spent on candy. So another $9 billion is spent on plastic bats and the 12-foot skeletons. I love seeing the 12-foot skeletons in front yards. The box stores, the hardware stores, the three big ones, Lowe's, Home Depot, Menards, they start putting out their Halloween stuff in August, maybe the end of July, and it gets more extravagant every year. I think I saw at one of them, there's like a 14 or 15 foot tall monster now that was like $500.
Wow.
You're going to buy that one and put it in your front yard?
I wish I'd known about this sooner, because right now, officially, I can't afford it. But if I had known, I'd been saving up.
The decor is out of control. I do know there's a trend now to go to the dollar store or a dollar store, and you can buy like $7 worth of junk, skulls or whatever, bones. And there's these tutorial videos and reels online of these crafty, craft gurus that will show you how to take this $7 worth of stuff and make it look like it's a $200 Halloween decoration from, one of these elite brand name stores. So if you're looking to save some money and have some great Halloween decorations, same for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and every other holiday, start looking around the internet for crafty, craft, save money, craft type reels and videos. And you'll find these people at home in their backyard, in their craft room, and they whip up the coolest stuff, and it costs $7. I swear the same thing would cost $200 at a store like At Home or Home Goods. So there's a little money-saving advice.
That is a great tip. And then final survey question, when they queried people about how much they're going to spend this Halloween season, 73% of people plan to celebrate Halloween in some fashion, whether it's give out candy, dress up at work, send spooky greeting cards, whatever. You do to celebrate Halloween, you've got a lot of people celebrating along with you. And I know you and I, Adam, we occasionally get a bah humbug on certain holidays.
Yeah.
I know Arbor Day, I've had some of my friends go, I don't want to hear another thing about trees. But with Halloween, there's a lot of people that like it. It's not everyone's cup of tea, though.
Well, the weather is sort of starting to turn fall. I know we've had a pretty warm October in the north. I think that's affected how people decorate their exterior of their homes. I know you certainly you decorate more when it's not, you know, terrible weather. But when it's nice weather, the last, you know, you want to enjoy the end of summer. You're going to be maybe near a pool that's still open, definitely on your bike or a trail, enjoying the outdoors. You're not going to waste time putting bats on your windows. But now that we're 2 weeks out from Halloween and the weather's starting to chill off a little bit, I think you're going to see a lot more Halloween decorations pop up in your neighbors' front yards.
I know you've offered some great Halloween advice in the past. I always get a tiny bit worried because adults really like to enjoy Halloween. And when it falls on a Friday, that sort of puts together the storm of possible poor choices.
You know, yeah, a Friday night Halloween, a lot of Halloween parties, costume parties, and that means alcohol if you are of age. So it's certainly something to pre-plan for, having a safe ride home, having a safe designated driver, or at the least your rideshare app, Lyft or Uber. I was just having lunch this week with somebody talking. We were talking about DUIs, and in this day and age, there is just zero excuse to have a DUI with the just how easy it is to get an Uber.
And well, there is so much, as you said, in the rideshare world. You know, shame on you if you are driving drunk.
It's just so affordable. Even if the party you're going to is on the other side of the city, and you're talking like $50, if it's a $50 ride home, just how much more affordable is that $50 Uber rather than a $10,000 DUI, which may result in the loss of your career and salary, annual salary? So it's just a no-brainer to make sure you have a safe ride home, especially when you have a costume on. Because I'm telling you, Jay, the cops tend to notice somebody driving home with a full face paint, wig, some sort of crazy hat. If you've got the big giant pirate hat on,
yeah,
and you're driving home.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to laugh because you're giving good information. But when Frankenstein is doing 53 and a 35, he's going to get pulled over.
He's going to get pulled over. The nuts, the bolts and nuts on his neck are like magnets for cops.
He's alive. Yes.
So boozing it up. Also, you know, when you're drinking, your inhibitions drop when it comes to social media. So you may or may not do something on camera that gets shared online in your idiotic, ridiculous costume that you may result in an uncomfortable conversation with your spouse or employer the following Monday morning. And while we're talking about costumes, Jay, definitely worth some pre-planning just to make sure your costume's not offensive to anyone. I mean, we went through a cancel culture craze 10 years ago. So, you know, everyone has sort of learned the cancel culture red flags. So if you're walking out of the house and you take one last look in the mirror with your costume on, you know, the devil on your shoulders saying, this is funny, everyone's going to love this costume. What's the angel on your shoulder saying? If the angel's saying, this might not be the best costume.
This may reflect on you poorly later. Yes.
This may not result in a promotion at work. We've seen some poor thought out social media posts just in the last 5-6 weeks that have resulted in endings of careers.
Yes.
So a poorly thought out Halloween costume can have the same result. So put some thought into your costume, not just for yourself, but for your kids, with safety, as they are pedestrians, really, when they're trick-or-treating. And there are countless pedestrian accidents and even fatalities during the course of the year. You throw in a dark costume that's not well seen, that also has poor vision, peripheral vision from a mask perspective, if the child is wearing a mask that's restricting their vision. And that's a recipe for disaster with cars driving through neighborhoods at night on their way home or to a Halloween party on a Friday night. So this is sort of a double warning for drivers. Yes, we've touched on the DUI and the drinking and driving. Hopefully, as you drive through neighborhoods, you are well aware that there are children in masks that they can't see out of that are trying to traverse the neighborhood, cross the streets, especially if one kid yells to his friend, "Oh my gosh, the house across the street, they've got the full-size candy bars." And now the kid just isn't even thinking. He's thinking full-size Snickers, runs across the street.
Right.
You know, so just for both the kids and parents as pedestrians and the drivers, we all need to be cognizant of that pedestrian factor and being safe on Friday night, October 31.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm throwing this one in here, Adam, because I think a lot of people have been concerned about how much concerts cost. You and I always talk about, you know, sort of spending your entertainment dollar wisely. And we love concerts. We love music. But sometimes you say to yourself, my goodness, this band, they're getting that kind of money. Well, the Federal Trade Commission has sued Ticketmaster and parent company Live Nation. They're officially accusing them of forcing customers to pay more through illegal tactics.
Well, that's not really hard to believe with the price of concert tickets I've seen recently. Yeah. Well, good for somebody, I guess. As long as my next concert ticket is less, I'll be happy with whatever's happening here.
Absolutely. Well, here's kind of the mechanics. We just share this with you so you kind of know what goes on. The lawsuit is claiming that Ticketmaster is deceiving customers by advertising lower prices than what they actually pay and then falsely claim to limit ticket purchases. In reality, Ticketmaster works with brokers who use fake accounts to buy millions of dollars worth of tickets. Then they resell them at a higher price on Ticketmaster's platform. So there's where the little rub comes in. They're using an artificial means to decrease the supply. And for those of us that took even the barest econ, what happens when you decrease the supply, Adam?
That the price goes up.
Absolutely. Ticketmaster controls 80% of the major U.S. concert venues and collected, here's another big figure, they collected $82 billion over a five-year stretch that began in 2019. So this is big money for Ticketmaster. Obviously, all parties are presumed innocent, but this is interesting. The government has stepped in and said, you know, something doesn't seem right about some of these ticket prices.
It's the smell test, and that smells bad.
It does smell bad. Here's kind of an interesting note dovetailing with what you just mentioned about automotive safety on the night of Halloween. It turns out that fall is the trickiest time to be behind the wheel. And this is according to Carfax, which collects vehicle data. They found that fall is the top season for accidents, and it beats out winter, believe it or not.
That is, I'd love to hear your explanation. I started my broadcast career as a traffic reporter, and I've got a little insight on this from witnessing traffic accidents and how they affect traffic. And I would say that the most traffic accidents are in the fall.
So that you actually saw that with your own eyes.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear what the stats say on your end as to explain to our listeners, because I think the most, you know, most people would just say, oh, winter has to be the most dangerous time to drive with all the snow and ice and slush. So what are the reasons here?
Well, in the fall, what happens is the days shorten kind of quickly. We've always talked a little bit about that, mostly because our good friend Adam here is addicted to sunlight, and I don't blame him. But we can't help but notice that Nighttime seems to come pretty early in fall, so that means more nighttime driving. And nighttime driving is twice as dangerous as daytime driving, just using statistics. Also, you know about this one, wet leaves turn roads into slip and slides. People don't realize that a whole bunch of wet leaves are really an incredible hazard.
It's just like a pile of wet banana peels, really.
Yeah. This is another one, too. Deer are often very active in the fall heading into winter. And we do know the disaster that happens when you encounter a deer with your motor vehicle.
I almost hit a deer a week ago, Jay, and I was not even in my car. I was just jogging my neighborhood.
Wow.
And one ran right in front of me, and it scared the life out of me. It was dark. I don't usually like to run at night, but I just wanted to squeeze in a slow run. I'm not trying to say I'm a runner, Jay. I'm not, but I just wanted to get off my couch and move a little. I went for a slow jog, and this this deer almost took me out.
Wow.
I can imagine if you hit one full speed in your car, the damage and the safety issues you would have.
That deer, when he got back with his fellow deer, said, "What is it with these humans running at night? I mean, it's messing us all up."
He's like, "If that one wasn't so slow, I think I would have hit him."
I would have hit him. So here is the takeaway, the Adam Ritz Show ticket to safer driving in fall. Definitely slow down. Check your tires and wipers, and then possibly you might want to put a survival kit in the trunk before the leaves really start to drop. And that's basically, you know, we've talked about that. You want to have a phone charger and any other type of thing. Throw in a couple of power bars, some water, your AAA card, put them all in one spot that you can find. And that will help you stay a little safer on the road.
Yeah. And then just to follow up, Jay, with my traffic report, I guess, portion of my career, we always discuss this in the what we call the traffic office, the traffic center. Any change of situation, any change of driving conditions is when the most accidents occurred.
Right.
So if, let's just say it's the middle of January, there's 5 inches of snow on the ground, you would have less crashes on that 5 inches of snow than if it were late October and it just started to rain.
Right.
Because if you're on dry pavement, everybody's happy. All of a sudden it starts to rain and all the leaves on the road are wet. We discussed those are instant banana peels. Now it's traffic as a whole. Everyone loses their mind and just drives off the road and crashes.
A
change of driving conditions. So, yes, if it just initially starts snowing, lots of crashes. But once the snow's on the ground, you know, if it's snowy, ice-covered streets for weeks at a time, you'll have less crashes than if it's sunny and dry and then rains in the fall. And then you throw in the darkness factor, that it gets dark so early. You're coming off the summer when everything is beautiful. It's light till late at night, till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. It's still light out. Now all of a sudden it's dark at 6:37. Throw in a little rain, rainy leaves. You're going to have more crashes in the fall than in the winter, because it's almost like in the winter everyone's driving 10 at 2. Knuckles are white. Everyone's on the edge of their seat. They know they need to pay attention because these are bad driving conditions. Well, in the fall, everyone's coming off perfect driving conditions and no one's thinking about it until all of a sudden your brake lights are broken because someone just ran into the back of you.
There you are driving down the road thinking about full-size candy when somebody hits you.
And you don't want that to happen on Friday night, October 31st.
No, you absolutely do not. Well, I used to work with a famous air personality who was pretty hilarious. Every time we would book a guest, this guy had a completely different view of what was being offered. As you know, you book these guests because you want to share information this guy always used to say cynically, now we're going to find out that we are not doing it right. And that made me laugh so hard every time I think of advice. So I'm going to give you some advice, but I want you to take it as, hey, you could benefit from this and become the king of your house. You ready?
Okay, so I'm not taking this advice like I've been, now you're telling me I've been doing it wrong. I'm taking this advice with a better attitude. Okay, I'm ready.
Well, see, everybody has a junk drawer or some type of catch-all drawer. It's where all the odds and ends go. Believe it or not, there was a psychology professor in no less than Harvard University. He did a little survey and discovered smarter people put the following items in their junk drawers. So see, you may say to yourself, I'm doing my junk drawer wrong. You and I are going, I want to be a junk drawer genius.
I hope I have at least one thing on your list in my junk drawer. I'm going to feel so dumb right now.
Well, here's what all the smart kids are putting in their junk drawers, Adam. Batteries.
Okay, I'm one for one.
A tape measure.
Two for two, baby.
And see, you know, sometimes you do need the tape measure because you got to go around the corner and everybody's got the measuring tape that's got the metal in it. You can't bend that as well. So go tape measure.
Okay, I had the measuring tape.
Well, no, that's fine too. Okay? At least you're stepping the right direction. Okay. But to fine tune it, junk drawer king style, you also have the tape measure.
Okay, and that's what a made of cloth. So
yes,
you know, when you're okay, I gotcha.
It's bendable. That's always the one too. Like if you ever have to get a hat, and someone says measure your head, you need something that's flexible.
Yeah, you can't.
Most people's heads are somewhat round.
I have not measured my head with my metal measuring tape. That's a good
idea.
And
you have an oversized head, so you'd have to measure it using careful measuring devices.
I could use a yardstick, to be honest with you.
You could, absolutely. a small sewing kit. The smart kids are putting that in there. Mm-hmm. Tools. Makes sense.
Yeah.
How about this one? Super glue.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm on it with this one. I
see,
love this category, Jay.
Tape.
Tape.
Rubber
got it.
Bands.
Scissors. Tell me scissors.
Yep.
Yes.
So this does not specifically say scissors, but I would lump that under tools.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a good one. And, you know, there's about a bazillion of these at work that no one uses, so they probably wouldn't mind if you take some home. Binder clips.
Binder clips. We've got a few in there along with our push pins.
That's the other one on there, too. Safety pins and push pins.
Is Sharpie on the list?
It isn't, but I like Sharpie because Sharpie, you can write on just about anything with a Sharpie. Which is good and bad.
I think that the top three for my household, when you go to the junk drawer and they're not there, and there is going to be a fight if you don't put it back. Scissors, scotch tape, Sharpie.
Yeah, nope. Those should be or are on the list. The final two official items, notepads and pens. And a flashlight.
Flashlight. All right. I think I'm running about 70%, 75% on that list.
That's not too bad.
So I'm 75% smart, I feel like. Anyway, Jay, thank you so much for your input. We want to wish everyone a happy, safe Halloween. Now's the time to prepare. We're 2 weeks out. We may or may not have some Halloween information on next week's show because you'll only have a few days to absorb that information before the trick-or-treating on the 31st. So thank you again for joining us. You can hear this show in its entirety and podcast form on our website, yachtrockradio.com. It's adamritzshow.com. And for fun, you may want to check out, especially if you like music of the 70s and 80s, you might want to check out yachtrockradio.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.